It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Dr. Harold Bornstein, Donald Trump's personal physician, you know, the guy who during the campaign issued a medical report calling Trump a man of extraordinary strength, who would be the healthiest individual ever elected, believe me, now says that that was black humor that takes the truth in a different direction. Turns out the medical report, putting Trump in great health, was written by Donald Trump. Hey, makes one wonder. When Marla Maples said that Donald Trump was the best sex ever, could that have been written by Donald Trump and not Marla Maples?
Inconceivable!
Nah, inconceivable. Anyway, at Forward Nation Radio, we write our own material. And on today's show, that material will include Iran, the latest on Swamp Watch, and sex. Lots and lots of sex. That ought to keep them watching. This is Forward Nation Radio, and I'm David Leventhal. Thanks for joining us. To start out, you know, I was really good this week. I got the show prepared in advance. I was pretty much done over the weekend. Figured I'd have some time to spend with my chillins at the end of the right before we went to the show. But then something happened. That something's called Tuesday. In Trump's world, you can't prepare things early because too much changes day by day. So the show that I had prepared 2 days ago is now basically in the wastebasket because it's been trumped, pun intended, by more crises that have happened ever since then. Hope you enjoyed the couple of jokes we had in the beginning, because the news is relentlessly awful. And there probably won't be a lot of jokes for the rest of the show. But remember, we're going to have sex, so stay tuned. Anyway, I'm asked often in my classes, Professor, I'm always telling them, there's a lot to know in the world, no matter how informed you are. You know a small fraction of what it is that you will be expected to know to be able to make good decisions. So how do you know who to believe? How do you know how to evaluate evidence that's being presented to you? And it's difficult, but sometimes the speaker helps out a little bit. When someone who's making an argument is lying to you, is engaging in the reasoning fallacies that we talk about all the time on the show, that's a pretty good clue that you shouldn't be listening to them. And that brings us to Iran. You know, like I'm sure was true of so many people over the years who've wondered whether Donald Trump was going to fulfill his promise to pull out, the result is what I knew it would be. And yet, it's still really disappointing when it happens. Donald Trump pulled out of the Iran agreement that's supported by basically the entire civilized world. And when he came out and announced that he was pulling out of the agreement, he basically met his quota for the day in lies. And that's a pretty high number, his daily quota for lies. But he seemed to meet it just in announcing why he was pulling out of the Iran nuclear deal, making one really wonder if this was a good idea. He lied, or as Fox News or this administration would put it, he told alternative truths, starting with Iran has been cheating on the deal. And we had discussed this issue last week. The White House had put up that Iran is cheating on the deal, and when they were told factually that that absolutely wasn't true, they had to change their PR materials. But that didn't stop Trump a week later from coming out and saying, Iran has been cheating on the nuclear deal. We know that because of the presentation that Israel made the other day, last week. That's how we know Trump is lying. Because as we noted on this show last week, Israel's presentation was that Iran was cheating on the nuclear deal years before the nuclear deal was enacted. In fact, Iran has not been cheating on the nuclear deal. It has been repeatedly certified by the entire world, including the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, that has described the procedures for verification as the strongest ever implemented. And Iran has met them. But that's okay. Trump came out and lied about Iran cheating. But the lies, of course, didn't stop there. Trump was just getting started. He pointed out that there is inadequate verification under the agreement as it is. Only once again, that is factually inaccurate. As everyone who's reported on this has said, the verification procedures are stronger than anything we've ever implemented. And they are carefully calibrated to make sure that we know what Iran is doing, and to the extent that Iran starts to renege on its promises under the agreement, we have a procedure in place to address that. And finally, and I don't know if it's most egregiously, but maybe it's most humorously, when Trump said, "When I make promises, I keep them," seriously, let that one marinate for a moment. When I make promises, I keep them. Yeah, Donald Trump, his word is his bond, right? Or as the huckster would say, this man doesn't lie more than 10 or 20 times a day. Tell that his word is his bond, which I think, by the way, also, I think that was the motto for Trump University. Our word is our bond, Trump University. Tell that to your creditors, Donald. All the creditors you've reneged on your promises to repay. That's got to be a joke, right? Who's lapping this shit up? Once again, Donald Trump speaks only to the 30-something percent of his supporters who get their news, quote unquote, from Fox News or some other source that shouldn't have news anywhere near the title. So we are left to rely on faith that Donald Trump, in his wisdom, has made a brilliant and thoughtful decision, being brighter than everyone else in the world who has been arguing that this deal is a good thing, including people who originally opposed the deal. How else do we know the Trump administration is really honest in its appraisal that this was a bad deal? Did you read the stuff about them digging up dirt on Obama aides who were involved with negotiating the deal? A company called Black Cube, founded by former Israeli intelligence officials. Why is Israel always on the wrong side of this story? It turns out, was trying to engage in black ops against Obama administration officials, former Obama administration officials, Ben Rhodes and Colin Kahl, who had important roles in promoting and in signing the nuclear agreement. They're looking to discredit these guys. They were looking to dig up dirt on their families. They called their wives and posed as other people trying to trick them into showing up for things where they could be compromised. Nobody who believes in the merits of his position does shit like this. The mafia probably doesn't do shit like this. Probably has more scruples than this. But not the Trump administration. Trust that this is a good idea? Does anybody think that the Trump administration has thought this through? Does anybody think that this decision was a product of careful planning and reasoning? What, from the people who've been in the administration for a couple of weeks now? Remember, they've thrown everyone with any sense, just about, out of the administration. They are nothing but opposition. And that's the problem, the whole political party. You know, the New York Times, one of its articles today, says Donald Trump takes a risky gamble. Once again, we give way too much credit. Real media liberals do this all the time. We bend over backwards to be fair. Trump took a gamble? That implies logical thought. There's no logical thought here. There's no planning. There's no strategy. Strategy doesn't fit anything they do. They do opposition. They do anger. They do obstreperousness. I don't even know if that can be a noun. Damien?
You know, it occurs to me and about maybe half of the world that's paying attention that these moves to pull us out of deals like this and the Paris Climate Accord, which separates us from our allies, really benefits one person's agenda.
Once again, back to how it benefits Vladimir Putin?
Yeah.
Well, we'll be back to Vladimir Putin. We'll get to Russia a little bit. He doesn't stay out of the news for very long, does it? It certainly doesn't seem to promote our agenda, does it? We're not sure where this agreement, where this is going to go. Maybe it turns out ending up okay. Donald Trump has spent a lifetime stepping in shit. Maybe he'll luck out here. I don't know why stepping in shit, by the way, is a good thing. Right? That's a phrase that indicates it's a good thing. You really... Anyway,
post,
I think it
post-truth
is.
Post-truth world.
I think it... I mean, post-truth...
Facts.
I mean, the guy's got lucky his whole life. Maybe something will work out with this. It's really hard to imagine this ends well. Right now, where does this go? The entire Western world is saying, you jackasses. But we're in a position where we may force them to get out of the agreement. They're all saying now they're going to stay in the agreement. As far as they're concerned, screw the United States. The question will be how much follow-through Trump has on this and whether he's going to punish French, UK, European Union, German companies who actually do business with Iran. Maybe even former Vice President Dick Cheney's company that was violating Iran sanctions for so long. Anyway, never mind, we won't go there. The rest of the world may be kicking and screaming, drawn into this. This doesn't look good for America right now. The best scenario is that the world turns out, this turns out mostly okay for the world, and America gets isolated. The rest of the world basically says, screw you, and basically imposes sanctions on America, so to speak. And the agreement continues with the rest of the world. That would be the best case scenario. It certainly doesn't end well for us. If it ends well for Vladimir Putin, yeah, if the United States stops trading with Iran, I guess that opens up more, even more opportunities for Russia there. But there's no strategy here. Maybe there's doing Putin's bidding. Maybe Putin has some strategy. And this says something about Trump, the Republicans, and what they are. Fox, Trump, the Republicans, they are an opposition party. They don't do strategy. They don't have plans. Look at everything in the Trump administration. Damien mentioned backing out of all these agreements. Why? For 8 years, their strategy was everything the black guy does is bad. That was their strategy for 8 years. They had nothing. It's become perfectly clear. We could do better than Obamacare, except they clearly can't. They had nothing. All they had were crying and yelling and kicking and screaming. We're out of the TPP. It's awful. Except now we're back in. We're out of NAFTA. Except maybe not. All they are is bitchers and moaners. They're like my four-year-old child. Love you, D. But my four-year-old child in not one of his better moments. Who'll kick and scream that he doesn't want whatever you're offering, and you say, what do you want? And he's like, I don't know, I haven't thought that far ahead. I'm just in the, I'm throwing a shit fit now mode. And that's the Republican Party. That's Fox News. There's no capability of governing. There's no interest in governing. The closest they get to governing is, what can I steal today? What isn't nailed down? Donald Trump looks as far into the future as his next NDA with a porn star. There's no strategic thinking. Interestingly, read Thomas Friedman's op-ed on Wednesday of last week on this subject, which was interesting. We hearken back now to our conversation a couple of weeks ago with New York Times op-ed columnist Gail Collins, and the discussion of how Democrats do humor, liberals do humor, Republicans just do outrage and fear. I wonder why that is. We talked about it, we've been talking about it since. And the reason is, that's all they have. That's all they offer to their people. No solutions, just anger. The whole idea that Donald Trump got elected because he said to people, I feel your pain, that's all he did. He said, I feel your pain. More than that, I will feed your pain. Not that I will reduce it. You will rather be underscored in your anger than have your anger relieved. This is the right.
How do a people buy into a billionaire saying, I feel your pain?
Well, how do people buy into Donald Trump saying, I feel your pain, right? We've talked about this so much on this show, the irony here. And again, let's be clear, I'm not allowed to say fucking morons on this show.
Yeah, go ahead.
Not yet. Can I? Really? Yeah. Seriously? Yeah, these are, I'm sorry. When you create an army of such fucking outraged morons, you don't have a plan to govern. You don't have to have a plan to govern. You just have to have a plan to light fires.
But here's my thing. being a part of businesses and having started a few, when you're a business person and you wake up in the morning, especially if you're a business person like Donald Trump, and you wake up in the morning every day thinking about how are you going to make yourselves richer at any cost, a switch just doesn't flip and say, yeah, now I want to help people. That's not how...
I was going to say, when you're a businessman and you say that, he's the president and he says that. Clearly wakes up every morning and say, how will I get richer today? Or what porn star can I fuck today?
You know, ultimately, I don't know. It's interesting because at the end of all of this, he might actually just turn to people and say, well, you know, this presidency thing was a business move, and you know, I'm a business guy, so
right. Well, you know, people, Damien, it's been so roundly speculated with a lot of evidence that part of the problem, of course, speaking about outrage and just opposition, these guys are built for opposition. When you read from Fire and Fury and the other places that Donald Trump never expected that he was going to be elected president, it makes perfect sense. He wants to yell and scream. He wanted to put his name in the news. He wanted to build his brand, which is why maybe the best news to come out of this country for a while is, you read this, how all these people in New York City are trying to get their apartment buildings renamed to get Trump off their apartment buildings because apparently the Trump name is toxic in New York City. Ultimately, this is what needs to happen in this country as a whole. Trump's brand needs to be so discredited that this guy finds out that getting the presidency was not a brand builder, was not a profitable venture for him, but with any luck, will bankrupt his entire family.
Well, you see, when you come from a city like New York, I'd imagine that the people who grew up around Donald Trump would know him best. I don't think that anybody in New York really felt that he'd be able to con the whole rest of the nation, or at least a third of it.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about people who'd grown up with him who said, yeah, the guy was a shit and an incompetent pretty much his whole life, in school, whatever else. Anyway, this brings us to Swamp Watch, the latest edition of Swamp Watch. And let's start out. When we talk about, they're all about opposition, I guess there's one exception to that, and that's the neocons. You know, the people who brought you the Iraq War. What's roundly discussed as the worst foreign policy blunder in American history, guess what, people? They're back. That's right, the neocons are back. The Boltons, the Pompeos, etc., the people who are looking for a war with Iran, because the last one worked out so well, just like they predicted. This is something in America. If you're a poor black person who makes a mistake, you pay for it, perhaps for the rest of your life. If you're a wealthy white person who makes a mistake and brings us into wars we should never have gone into, you're sent to the woodshed for about a week. And then you're let out to wreak havoc again on the world. Okay? We're now being governed by the neocons and the foxicons, who just don't give a crap. and who aren't capable of learning, who won't admit that they made these huge mistakes. Where do we see this terrible ideas coming back? We thought we were done with torture. We thought we'd seen it go by, that ignominious period in American history we thought had gone by in the rearview mirror. Remember President Obama saying, we're not going to look back and prosecute those people. We're going to look forward. Well, here's the problem with looking forward without looking back. Those who refuse to learn history may be doomed to repeat it, or at least to whitewash it in the case of torture. As we speak, Gina Haspel, torture lady, is undergoing questioning in the Senate regarding her confirmation as CIA chief. Just earlier today, our proposed director of the CIA was asked by California Senator Kamala Harris whether she felt that our period of torture in violation of international and U.S. law was immoral. And she couldn't answer the question. She equivocated. And then she equivocated again, equivocated a third time, before Senator Harris said, okay, you're obviously not going to answer the question. You haven't answered the question. Let's move on. The person who's going to run the CIA can't say that torture was immoral. Yeah, we're the guys in the white hats. But to say that Gina Haspel is all about torture obviously is selling her short. She's about a lot more than that. She has more than that on her resume. Let's not forget, she's also about destroying evidence. That's right. Remember how the Trump people were so upset that Hillary Clinton deleted emails on her private server? That this was the worst thing in the world? She deleted evidence? Gina Haspel was responsible for deleting CIA files on torture that she knew prosecutors wanted to see. That's a crime. Hillary Rodham Clinton must be sitting in Chappaqua right now going, Jesus Christ, I'm living in some kind of strange alternative universe. By the way, Hillary Clinton, we know that you're a regular viewer. You're invited on, okay, she's not a regular viewer as far as we know, but you're invited on anytime you'd like. How crazy is this? Again, they don't believe anything they say. Anyway, Trump came out and said, the Democrats say that she was too tough on torturers. That's a good way to defend torture and your CIA nominee. By the way, let's be clear on something. She wasn't necessarily too tough on torture, on terrorists, rather. Too tough on terrorists. She engaged in torture. That's a little bit different. Also, there is a difference between being accused of terrorism and being a terrorist. We tortured people we accused of terrorism, not people we convicted of terrorism. Does anybody want to take a moment and think about the irony here? President Trump is talking about, well, our intelligence agencies said these people were terrorists, therefore let's go ahead and torture them. They're terrorists. This is the same guy who's at war with the FBI and the Justice Department, who think that they can't be trusted to conduct an investigation of the President of the United States, but if they declare someone a Muslim and then therefore a terrorist, it's okay to go ahead and torture them? Does this bother anybody other than me and probably the people in this room? Either you believe that law enforcement is incapable of making mistakes, or you recognize that it is fallible. In which case, maybe that somewhat informs your view of whether we should be torturing people. But really, nobody respects law enforcement more than Trump does. That's not what's going on here. Nobody respects our intelligence agencies more than the guy trying to hollow out our intelligence agencies. Okay, also in Swamp Watch, Oliver North is, in a quirk of delicious timing, back in the news. Ollie North back in the news. For those who don't know, Oliver North was just named the new president of the NRA. Wayne LaPierre, the CEO of the NRA and its executive vice president, called this the most exciting news for our members since the gun condom. Okay, that may not be quite what he said, something like that, since Charlton Heston, but whatever, you get the idea. This is so exciting. We are so excited. Our members are so excited to have Ollie on board. I'm sorry, there's just something about members and guns, using those two terms together. Members, your members are really excited by your guns. Ollie's on board. Most of our viewers are too young to know of Oliver North. So let me try to enlighten you a little bit. Oliver North did a stint in prison because he was convicted of perjury, of lying to Congress and federal investigators. About what? Well, Oliver North was one of the leaders, maybe the leader, of Ronald Reagan era program. Oh, I'm sorry. Ronald Reagan. Sorry. Of the program Iran-Contra, where, that's right, under the sainted Ronald Reagan, we were selling advanced weapons to, drumroll please, I can't drumroll, Iran. That's right, sainted Ronald Reagan was selling advanced weapons to Iran and was taking the proceeds of those sales and funding terrorists in Latin America. Look it up. We're not making this up. Therefore, Oliver North is a hero. Wait, what? And if that's not bad enough, well, and then he went and perjured himself lying about the program. If that's not bad enough, he then went to Fox News, where he then spent the rest of his adult life making a lot of money lying to the American public. So this is what the NRA is all excited about. Also in Swamp Watch, sad, we have to make a sad goodbye to Don Blankenship. Don Blankenship, the coal baron who murdered all those coal miners by repeatedly ignoring federal mine safety regulations that resulted in the death of 29 coal miners, and who ran for Senate, for the Republican nomination for Senate in West Virginia, with the support of many coal miners. Not saying fucking moron, not saying fucking moron. Well, he lost in the primary, and he lost despite race baiting. And I mean that, despite race baiting. Despite talking about China persons. And when people pointed out that that was not an appropriate way to refer to people, Blankenship, of course, to himself said, yeah, dude, that's why I'm doing it. Who do you think I'm appealing to? Bigots. That's what I have going for me. I'm going to be more Trump than Trump. Trump had to weigh in and say, don't vote for Blankenship. Not because he's a racist, not because he's a mass murderer, because he might lose the unspeakable, unpardonable sin. For a Republican, he might lose. What does Don Blankenship's run for the Senate show us? Don Blankenship is celebrating today, despite losing the primary. He's celebrating because last night, he came off parole supervision. That's right, in West Virginia, there are 7,000 West Virginians who are denied the right to vote because they are on parole supervision. But Don Blankenship, because he's a wealthy white guy, gets to run for Senate. And our time is basically up, and we haven't even had a chance to talk about Eric Schneiderman. So I'm going to squeeze this in quickly, and we're going to have to go back to all the Russia stories next week. Sorry about that, because there was a lot going on in Russia this week, too. But Eric Schneiderman, the New York State Attorney General that we've been calling on to indict people who can't be pardoned by President Trump, illustrated once again that powerful men and sex seem to go together hand in hand. We are reminded when people point out, I can't believe this, and then say, wait, yeah, obviously I can believe this. Another powerful man turns out is a sexual deviant, is a shit. And how much power seems to be tied up to sexual misconduct. How big sex is in our society. We've learned about the incel movement. Have you heard about that? Incel. We found out about that because the guy who got in a van and killed all those people in Toronto was a proud member of the incel movement, or involuntarily celibate. In other words, losers who can't get laid, and who, instead of recognizing their deficiencies, lash out at the world and women. How much of maleness and male pride and identity is about sex? And yet, at this point, the Trump administration doubles down on abstinence-only education. At a time when it is clear that we need to be having frank conversations about sex and how to grow up as normal, adjusted human beings, we're going to limit our discussion to don't have any and stay away from vans, apparently. I'm asked in class about what makes people successful. Hard work makes people successful. Luck makes people successful. I'd like to believe intelligence makes people successful, and it does. But most important, what I believe makes people successful is arrogance. Okay, confidence, if you'd prefer. Or arrogance. The belief, perhaps, in your own infallibility. The willingness to do things that the rest of us would say, wait a minute, how could you do that? For most of us, the idea that you would treat a woman this way, that you would go to a subordinate and solicit sex, demand sex, is inconceivable. We don't have the balls for it, so to speak. But people who do tend to be the ones who go full speed ahead, who are willing to risk failure, and probably these kind of personalities, we shouldn't be surprised when their power is tied up to sexual misconduct. Anyway, that's our show for this week. Next week, we will talk a lot about Rudy Giuliani. I'm sure you wanted to hear about him, at least we'll name drop before we leave. And we will talk a little bit more about Russia. Anyway, like looking forward, go to forwardnationradio.com. That's forwardnationradio.com and get the full experience. You'll see the video from this and every, wait, don't shut us off yet. It's gonna be changed, it's gonna be different this week. You'll see the video from this in every episode there and on our YouTube channel as well. Don't miss the next Forward Nation Radio podcast on Podbean at podbean.com or, drum roll please, very good, on iTunes. You guys learn. That's the audience that learns. On iTunes, Forward Nation Radio is now available on iTunes, which I think means we're going to be broadcasting from Ireland in the future. No, I've already moved my money there. Anyway, we love Apple. If you love what you heard, seriously, we're on Apple, we're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Are we on anything I like? You use these things. Make sure to like us on all these things. Have a great week. See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.